Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. And He loves you.
Thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We're in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Dr. G and Sheila G are on a well-deserved vacation, so we're going to continue on in Jesus' name. So we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we'll be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that it will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The last time we were together, we were talking about the death and of Jesus and how at the tomb, his mother, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and Mary Magdalene were at the tomb of Jesus, and how important it was that everyone played their role. And we see in this role, the women of that time were playing a role of being faithful and wanting to minister to the body of Jesus as the men were dealing with the situation in the way men would deal with it. And how together the men and the women would be able to carry out what God wanted us to do. And it's important for everyone to participate. A lot of times we see that people get caught up with what men should do or what women should do, but there's a thing that we all need to participate in to do the will of God, and everyone needs to play their role. And the women were the first to be greeted by the angel. We'll see this a little bit later in the resurrection at the tomb. And to go spread the word to the men that Jesus was not in the tomb, but he has risen as he had said he would, and how important it was for them to spread that gospel message and to give the instruction to the men. So here we see that everyone plays a role, and no one's role is diminished, but together the men and the women, as created by God, would be able to come together for the one purpose of glorifying God. And so we pick up today, and we want to look at the burial of Jesus and what was surrounding that burial. So if we go to Matthew 27 and verse 57, we'll be reading what was going on at the burial of Jesus. And in verse 57 it says, When evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went, this is verse 58, he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And in the Jewish tradition, body after death should be buried at sundown. And so the body was requested by this disciple of Jesus. And he was a rich man, and he had means to have his own sepulcher. It was his burial place that was hewn out of a rock. And he was playing a pivotal role in the burial and resurrection of Jesus. And that just lets us know that everyone can play an important role if you are a disciple. And that's what it takes for us to be a disciple or a follower or a learner of Jesus, is that no matter where you find yourself in life, you can be used by God in ministry, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're male or female. It doesn't make a difference. You can be used if you are a follower of Jesus. So in that verse 57, it says, in that part B of that verse, it says, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. And that makes the difference. When you're a follower or a learner of Jesus, what the description of a disciple is, God can use you. And if he had not been a follower of Jesus, he would not have gone to Pilate and asked for the body. And his role was a position of authority. He was a man that was a means and had money and had influence, so he could approach Pilate. And that's why I said everyone is important. Whatever your role you are in, you have a role of influence, whether it's in your neighborhood, whether it's in your community, whether it's in your house. But if you're a disciple of Jesus, you can use your influence, whether you're rich, as Joseph of Arimathea was, to use your role in the ministry for Jesus. And that's one of the most challenging things of ministry, is to get people to see that they have a role. They have a role to play in ministry, and not to seem like their role is diminished or their role might be more important or less important, but to see that everyone plays this role. And so Joseph of Arimathea, his role was, as a rich person, was to be able to use his means as a follower of Jesus, to have compassion, to want to bury the Lord's body and give him a decent burial, and to also have the means and the ability to talk to Pilate. Just everyone wouldn't have the means or the ability to approach Pilate, but because he was a follower of Jesus, and because in his spiritual heart, he was wanting to give Jesus a proper burial, and in his physical means, he was wanting to use his influence to petition the Roman government to give that proper burial. So here we see behind the scenes what's going on in verse 59. Let's go back to verse 58. It says, and he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body be delivered. So he got the okay to get the body. And then in verse 59, it says, when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. Again, she has the means to carry out this burial in the proper way. And in verse 60 it says, laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. And we see that this rich man, who was a disciple of Jesus, was in a place where God used him, used his means to be able to continue this gospel ministry. And again, it doesn't allow us to look at ourselves as not being able to be used in whatever situation we find ourselves in life, and that it's vitally important for us to know that one small thing that we can do in our lives can be a life changer to so many people. And if we live our lives for Jesus and we take it one day at a time, God will be able to use us in critical or pivotal moments in our lifetime to share, to care, or to help someone along the way. And doesn't say that they paid him or anything, but because of his means, he was able to do it. And sometimes we might not be able to help monetarily someone, but we can say a word, speak a word, do an action to help someone along the way. And here this person, Joseph, was doing just that. And so everyone was in place doing what God wanted them to do. And this was a part of his burial. And the record records what Joseph did and how he did it, the proper taking of the body, having the influence to talk to Pilate, putting it in a tomb that had been preserved, and you know, his own tomb. And a lot of times the preachers, when they're preaching about the good news on Good Friday, they talk about it was a borrowed tomb that he had borrowed from Joseph of Arimathea, because he only used it for 3 days. And we always love to hear that story of how angel rolled the stone away and that he had risen. And it's an awesome thing to know that in this little town, this intimate setting, that Jesus was so powerful in his death, his burial, and we'll see later on in his resurrection. So if we move on to verse 60, in verse 60, it says, in verse 61, it says, and there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. And so this whole process of taking Jesus' body down from the cross, and Joseph of Arimathea begging, asking, going to Pilate and asking for the body, and his whole bringing the body to the cemetery, if you will, and to his sepulcher. All of this was being observed by Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher, and they were watching to see how the body was prepared and what they wanted to do. Now, Joseph put the linen cloth on him, but the women wanted to prepare the body with what we would call the embalming, and they had spices and things that were traditionally used for the body, and they were preparing, and they wanted to apply these things to Jesus. So they were sitting outside while the whole Joseph of Arimathea was going in and burying Jesus and rolling the stone there. And so they knew where the body was. They knew that they wanted to go and apply the spices and the anointment for the body. And so they're watching, and as this is going on, they say, well, we can't see it now. We can't do it now, but we will go back in the morning. And not knowing how they were going to roll the stone away, not knowing how they're going to get to the body. But they had faith enough in God that they would be able to do it. And that's the thing that really is spoken in this word, not spoken, but is that they were going to actually go back and they were going to minister to the body, not knowing how they were going to actually get to it. And that's the thing about faith. Faith is trusting God that he's going to do something even though you can't see it. And even in death, even in trials, even in tribulation, that you can live your life knowing that I might not see it now, but I know the God who does see it and the God who can do something about even our most challenging situation. And they acted and, you know, they watched what was going on. They participated. And even though it didn't look good, even though it didn't feel good, they still wanted to carry out the burial ritual. They still wanted to do the right thing in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of a challenging situation. They still wanted to do the right thing. And so here they find themselves watching Jesus being buried, watching Joseph of Arimathea put the linen around him, and watching the stone. In the King James Version calls it a great stone. And so it was a large stone that was at the mouth of the sepulcher. And so these women, seeing this, still had faith that even though there was a great stone in their way, a great challenge in their way, that they would come back the next day and expect to be able to get into that tomb and to minister to the body of Christ. And again, you know, when we have great stones in our lives, great stones in the way, great things opening, blocking our way, we know that God can move the great stone and God can open doors that seemed impossible to open. And we just have the faith, have to have the faith to believe that he can and he will do it. And in verse 62, we see what was the next day at the guard of the tomb. But we want to get a couple folks on the phone line to help with this evening to see what they are thinking about this faith of Mary and Mary Magdalene, of even though the stone was there and the door was there, that their faith was that they would come back the next day and be able to get in and minister to the body of Jesus. So we're just going to ask the question tonight, help us out in exploring this scripture of what type of faith does it take to be able to, in the midst of challenging situations, to trust God that he's going to do something about it, even though we can't see or it seems impossible. So we're going to go to the phone line, and I'm going to talk to person 1741. 1741, you're on the air. Can you help me out tonight?
Yes, good evening, everyone. How you doing, Pastor?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. The ladies that were there, the women of God, Mary Magdalene and Mary, Jesus' mother, and Mary, the mother of Joseph and John, they had followed Jesus all the way through his ministry. And they were there at the cross also when Jesus was crucified. And so they had seen the work of Jesus. They had faith and they believed in Jesus and what he could do. And so when they went to the tomb, not expecting to see what had happened, they still had the faith to believe that Jesus was who he said he was. And it made a difference in their relationship. And they had enough faith not only to go there to the tomb expecting to receive something, but even when they left the tomb, they had enough faith to go back and to tell the other disciples what Jesus had said, what the angel had said, you know. And so it's so crucial that we have faith in him not only in the end but from the beginning. And not so much what we see, but what we don't see.
Yeah.
Believing in his word. They trusted his word. And Mary Magdalene, Jesus healed her. I think she was the one that had seven demons. And so Jesus healed her. And so she knew without a shadow of doubt that Jesus was who he said that he was. And Mary, Jesus' mother, birthing him, you know, having that, being a virgin, and God using her, you know, for that glory of birthing the only begotten son, bringing him into the world, and trusting her to nurture this son, she and Joseph, her husband Joseph. And so the many experiences that she had gone through, seeing the first miracle that Jesus had done, and even the suffering and the prophecy that had gone forth, letting her know that even her soul, her very soul, her heart would pierce to see the hatred and what they would do to Jesus. So these women of God, they had different experiences in their life that they went through on this ministry journey that strengthened them, that helped them to where they got to the point of the tomb. And it's the same today. God allow us to go through various walks with him through our Christian journey that increase our faith. And this is a faith walk. And sometimes we get weary. Sometimes we get weary. Sometimes our faith get weak. But that's when we have to believe in the power of prayer and believe in the power of God's word and in the power of his Holy Spirit, what he can do.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment. We're going to go to another caller, last four digits, 1411. 1411, you're on air.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
I definitely, it is challenging to have faith depending on where you are in your Christian walk. I know for myself that when I was early on in this Christian walk, I said all the right things and in church and talking about faith and knowing what it means and going through the scriptures and the quote, but I learned that when I was faced with adversity, I really didn't have faith. It sounded good to say, but I never really acted or presented myself showing that I actually had faith. And then once I said, you know what, I'm going to let go and just trust God that he'll work it out and truly believe that he'll work things out in his own time, then my faith grew based off the experience. Because one thing people have to realize, faith is like you're waiting for it to happen. You're not really, okay, God, when is it, you know, whatever. It's you're patiently waiting, trusting that, hey, I know God's going to work it out. Even though I may not see it now or I understand what's going on and all hell's breaking loose around me, I'm trusting that God is going to see me through. So as I got closer to God, then when I started going through adversity, then that's when the faith started kicking in. And that's when I said, you know what, I've seen this before. I've been here before, but now I'm going to react differently. Now I'm going to have faith and patiently wait on God. And then what ends up happening is the stronger your faith, it seems like now the more the world throws at you and Satan throws at you to try to get you to react and to respond. So that's why throughout this journey, committed, you have to stay in the word because it's going to get tougher.
Yeah.
You know, we always look at everybody else and say, well, man, you know, I go to church every day. I'm in prayer service, Bible study, all this stuff. And it seems like I just can't everywhere I look. But then I'm looking at people who don't go to church and don't give God the honor and glory. And they seem to be happy. They appear to be happy. They appear that they don't have a care in the world. But when you become a Christian, you're taking that on and having faith that, hey, I know that Jesus died for my sins. I know that ultimately the goal is to get to heaven, and I'm going to have faith that I'm going to live this day of my life every day and try to get better and trust in God's word. But we have to do more as a society, as people, to just say it. You actually have to live it. You actually have to be about what it is. And until we do that, we're going to always have an issue with faith. And I'll be the first to tell you, does my faith get rattled because I may experience a little bit of difficulty that's foreign to me? Yes, but I'm still holding on to that faith. And if it gets a little shaken up, I know there's a scripture I can go to. I know there's somebody that I can call who can have a word of prayer for me. I know I can call in on Thursday to get what I need to kind of help me get through the week. But everybody, if you look at in the Bible back in those days and the people that encountered Jesus, as the young lady stated, they followed him from the beginning, and then they knew, because guess what? Say day one when they first met Jesus and he got crucified immediately, they wouldn't have had no faith. Their faith was developed and built over the course of time, seeing his work and going to his, when he was going out and ministering to folks and seeing the miracles and seeing all the things. So by the time it came to the crucifixion, granted they were hurt, granted they were upset, granted they were sad, all these emotions, but guess what? They never lost faith because they were able to develop that faith over the course of their relationship with Jesus Christ. But if it had happened in day one when he first came out and started, what's the name? They would have had no faith. There would have been nothing there because it had to be developed. It had to be nurtured. They had to develop that faith. So they knew when he died, oh, my Savior's coming back. Oh, we know when we go to the tomb, he's not going to be there. He's risen. Right. He's going to do it. But it's a process. Faith is not something that you can get overnight. I can tell you that from my personal experience. You got to go through some things. You got to have some trials and tribulations. You got to sometimes even, and I hate to say this, and I know I'm toeing the line, but sometimes you even have to question yourself to say, man, am I really cut out for this? And really understand the word of God, that it's the commitment that God wants. He wants the commitment and he wants the consistency. And yes, I've done it. I've questioned God, like, why? Why am I going through this? And guess what? In time, he'll reveal it to me. But guess what? I'm not going to keep badgering God and saying, God, why me? Why me? Why me? I'm going to just say, you know what? I'm going to get something from this. I may not see it today, but I'm going to get something from this. But I'm continuing to have faith that God's going to not forsake me. God's not going to leave me barren in a desert, you know, wasteland. And, you know, that something is going to actually come from this, something fruitful and meaning is going to come from it. But guess what? If you don't have faith, God sees that. God knows that. Yeah. It ain't like if you don't have faith, that's something that's within yourself. God sees it. So guess what? If you don't have faith in God, how can you expect God to deliver you? How can you expect God to make things right in your life if you continue to not have faith? And then guess what? If you don't have faith, then you're not doing what you're supposed to do. Because guess what? If you don't have faith, you're not coming to church on Sunday. If you don't have faith, you're not calling in on the prayer service line. If you don't have faith, you're not getting into that scripture. You're not doing the things that God told us to do, not only when times are good, but also when times are bad. So if you don't have faith, in my opinion, you're pretty much checked out. You don't really care about the word of God because you're making it about you. And you have to realize that it stopped being about us a long time ago when Jesus died on that cross, that we have to do our part. And ultimately, if we do that and we sustain that, the faith part is easy. You know, waiting for God to deliver us, that's the easy part. But just making sure that you hold on to it and continue to develop that faith. So as you come across different things in your life, you're able to keep your faith, and your faith is even more so deeply rooted. And then you'll continue to grow and build on that. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to next caller, last four digits, 3343. You're on there.
Yes, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Well, I can't say anything about anybody except me. I have to hold myself together, and I stay fighting myself as a whole to my faith. And my faith has brought me all the way up to here, and I can't turn around and say I got to learn my faith. I had it all the time since I was born with my grandmother putting it in my spirit. And I stuck with it, and I got this far for all the faith that God helped me with it. I have to stick with it, and I can't turn it loose. So I keep praying and keep praying. I make some odds and ends and some things and thoughts. But if I make a mistake or something, hoping that the good Lord forgive me for that. But other than that, I try not to make the right thing and say the wrong word. But I'm going to stay on my faith no matter what. That's all I can do.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for your comment tonight. Appreciate everyone helping out tonight. We're going to go back to the scripture. And we're going to look at the and again, there's always story behind the story. And that's what I love about the word of God is you can look at it, you know, time and time again, and you'll see one layer or you'll see one side. And then you look at it again and you see another part of it that God allows to be revealed to you. So we're going to go back to the word of God and Matthew 27, verse 62. And this is what was going on around the tomb. So, again, you had Joseph of Arimathea burying the body of Jesus in his tomb. The women, Mary and the other Mary, Mary Magdalene was at the tomb, and they watched, but they weren't able to do anything that night, but they were going to come back the next morning. And because of their faith, that they believed that God would allow them to be able to access the body. And so in verse 62, we pick this up. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate. And so these conspirators, if you will, the Roman conspirators and the Jewish conspirators were reviewing what they did and reviewing what Jesus said he was going to do. And so they're always scheming, always plotting to try to cover up their tracks or cover up their lies or their schemes. And so they came together, and in verse 63 says, saying, "Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again." And so, you know, they're counting the days that he died. And so the first night they weren't so concerned. They said, "Well, we better make sure we check this thing out, because he said when he was alive, in 3 days he's going to rise again. So we need to make sure, and nobody's coming out of that tomb. Nobody's coming out of there. We need to put some things in place to make sure that on that third day, nothing's going to happen, and we will have accomplished our mission of getting rid of this this deceiver, as they call Jesus, and that we won't have any uproar from the people about this guy again." And so they ask in verse 64, "Command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so that the last error shall be worse than the first." And so they're participating in the conspiracy to kill him. Now they're participating in the conspiracy to cover it up. So a lot of times we see these things play out in our modern day religion and politics, where the politicians cover stuff up, religious leaders cover stuff up, and they know they did wrong, and so now the cover-up is worse sometimes than the crime. And so here they're plotting and scheming with each other to cover this up, to even do more injury to the people, to try to hide the truth. And that's the thing about the Word of God. The Word of God is true whether we believe it or not. The Word of God is true whether we lie or not. It's true. And that's the thing about the truth. The truth will always remain the truth, whether you try to cover it up, whether you try to sugarcoat it, whether you try to bend it, or whether you try to disregard it. It's always going to be the truth. And we see that in our modern day time, is that the truth will make you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, the scripture said. And even in today's society, you see people trying to cover up crimes that they willingly committed, cover up sins that they willingly commit, and it just drags out for a period of time. But ultimately, what is done in the dark will come to light, and people will see and know the truth. And so here, again, one of these stories that we look at, and we see what's going on behind the scenes before the resurrection, that even in his death, people were plotting and scheming, trying to stop the gospel of Jesus Christ. We go all the way back to when Jesus was born, Herod, the Tetrarch, tried to do away with Jesus, because he knew the word had said that the Savior was coming. And so he had children, two and younger, killed, trying to make sure that the seed of Jesus would not come to put him out of power. And so here again, we see the Romans and the religious government and political government trying to keep themselves in power by killing off, or by manipulating the life of individuals so they can stay in power. And again, that's nothing new under the sun. We still see people in religious power and political power manipulating people so that they can stay in power. But again, the truth is the truth, and Jesus made it all the way through 42 generations, and the bloodline was kept in place, and he came and ministered in spite of all of the challenges that happened. God's plan will come through fruition. but we have to play our role in this ministry. And these folks were plotting and scheming in his death. So even in his death, they were trying to manipulate the people and manipulate God's plan. But there's nobody greater than God, and there's no plan that God has that's not going to come true. And so in verse 65, we see Pilate agreeing with the schemes, and Pilate said unto them, "You have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can." And if we look at verse 65 in the NIV, it says, "Take a guard," Pilate answered, "go make the tomb as secure as you know how." So in verse 66, so they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. And so that was a powerful thing back then. The seal of Caesar meant that the authority was there, and that there would be a great cost if you broke that seal, or if you broke that boundary. And so they made it as secure they were as they could. They put a watch, they actually put people there to make sure that nothing could get in to steal that body, so that the claim of that he rose on the third day could be proclaimed to the people. And again, the plotting, the scheming, the lies, the deception that people bring is alive and well today. We see it in our political and religious leaders today. They plot, they scheme, they lie, they cover up. They use money to try to cover up and try to take advantage of people. And again, that's the title of our Bible study. There's nothing new under the sun. People were doing it back then, and people are doing it now. And it's prevalent. That's in man's DNA, that he likes to stay in power, and he will lie, and he will scheme, and he will manipulate, and he will use money and people and whatever else to try and to stay in power and to oppress those that they say they're trying to help. And you know, it's a trick of the enemy that's been played out down through the years. And so you have this guard that's watching the tomb. You had the religious leaders and the political leaders there, and they're deceiving, and they say, okay, he said this, well, we're going to make sure that we got this thing covered for the next 3 days, so the people won't have a chance to come and put us out of power. And they're always scared that people are going to come find out their lies and put them out of power. And so it is a miracle every day that God's word and God's people are able to survive, and not only survive but thrive every day because of their faith in him, and how they're able to, in spite of all the manipulation, in spite of all of the deception, and in spite of all the power of money and corruption, the people are still able to manage in this world because of the Holy Spirit and the power of God that has continued to expose the enemy. And again, there's nothing new under the sun. Some of the stuff these folks are doing, they might have done it, might have thought they got away with it, but eventually it comes out and gets exposed, and for what it is and who they are. And it is just by the power of God that these things happen. So let's go to verse chapter 28, see a little bit more about what was going on around the death and the burial and the resurrection. So in chapter 28, verse 1, it says, and I'm reading from the NIV, after the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. So they were going to say, okay, we got to go and we're going to find this body, and we're going to anoint this body, and we're going to do what we need to do. So they came to look at the tomb. I can only imagine the snide remarks from the men and those that were in doubt and not in faith. What are these crazy people going to do, to look at the tomb, to go anoint this body when they can't get to it? And they probably laughed them to scorn, but their faith still was strong that even though they were laughed to scorn, they were going to do what, you all said, what their faith has led them to do. And so in verse 2 it says, there was a violent earthquake, but the angel of the Lord came down from heaven, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone, and sat on it. And so this upheaval of the earth and the proclamation of the angel and the supernatural events happened right as these women were exercising their faith. And that's what I tell people, that God will supernaturally intervene on your behalf. When he sees your faith, God will honor your faith. So their faith was coupled with this earthquake and the appearing of this angel and the moving of the impossible. And that's where we have to pray and ask God to help us get to our faith where it will move mountains and that it would change the things that seem impossible, that we understand that the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And to see that these two women, or these women that went to this tomb, were walking by faith, so much so that the earth quaked and angels appeared and stones were rolled away. I'd say that's some pretty powerful faith. And the appearance of the angel was like lightning. His clothes were white as snow. And verse 4 says, the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. And that kind of faith will shake people up. The people will see you standing on the word of God, standing for God, in spite of what the situation with the circumstances, and when they begin to see God come through on your behalf and change things that seem like they were unchangeable and move things that seem like they were impossible to move, people are in awe, and these guards were like dead men when they saw this happen. They couldn't believe that this was happening, you have to know God for yourself to know that he can do it. And I always laugh about that song, and the verse in the song says, won't he do it, won't he do it? And people that know God get excited about it because they know they've endured, they've gone through difficulty, they've gone through circumstances and situations, they've gone through ups and downs, and they still trusting in God. I mean, it's something to know that you've been battered and bruised, and you tell people you don't look like what you've been through. But there's that faith among believers and disciples to know that somewhere, somehow, somewhere along the way, God is going to come through. And we say, won't he do it? And this is one of those won't he do it moments when the earthquake and the angel appeared and the lightning of his garment shone, and the guards were staggered. That moment of won't he do it is happening right here, and it's something to behold that God is in conjunction with us wanting to carry out his plan and how we play a role in it. So I would say, I don't know how God knew or how he ministered this, but this was a won't he do it moment for these people that we play a role in, and he'll still do that won't he do it moment for us, but we have to play our role. But if we're not playing our role, we won't be able to exchange over in this stone moving and these men shocking moments. So we have to participate because God can do it. If he did it back then, he can do it again, and we have to be a willing, faithful participant to watch him do it and to be able to give him glory. So I'm going to go back to the phone line, see what you guys think about this won't he do it moment. So we're going to go back to the phone lines, last four digits, 1741. Tell me about this one won't he do it moment.
Yes, he will. Hallelujah. God will do it.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
He will send an earthquake in our life. And sometimes when it feels like we are in a tomb, and the circumstances, the trials and the tribulations, and just the everyday things that we go through life that overwhelm us sometimes. Sometimes we just feel like, mm-hmm. Lord, I'm between a rock and a hard place. God will do it. Sometimes it seems like God is moving slow. Sometimes it seems like he don't hear us.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when our faith has to kick in. And we pull back on our Old Testament, on our, you know, on what we know what God has done for us before. And if you know him for yourself, you know, if you know God as being a healer, as you've been sick, if you know God is putting some food on your table, if you know God is paying your bills, if you know God just as being a savior, just giving you peace sometimes when there is just complete turmoil in your life, you know, God just speaking that comfort, that word of peace to you, and letting his Holy Spirit minister to you. And we all have times in our life where we have earthquakes, you know, where it just feel like we are rocking and reeling and we're moving, and, you know, but God tells us sometimes just to be still. He wants us to be still and know that I am God. He tells us to call on him in the day of trouble. But you got, in order to call on him, you got to know him. He got to be your Lord. He got to be your Savior. And you have to have that personal relationship with you. And once you have that personal relationship with him, and once you begin to commit your life to him and trust him and believe, and even when there are difficult times and you say, Lord, I don't see nothing but darkness all around me, but I know that you will deliver me because you have given me your promises, and I'm going to stand on your promises. And God will do it. He will make a way. I'm a living testimony. He have done it for me many, many times. He opened doors that was closed. He opened doors, I mean, pathways that I couldn't even see the light. All I could do was just get on my knees and cry. God made that way. So, yes, he will. Through sickness, through death, whatever your situation is, God is just, he is there. He is there.
Amen, amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to another caller. Somebody, won't he do it? Faith, 1411, you're on the air.
Amen, amen. Yes, he will do it. And I mean, we all have our own individual testimonies to show that he will. But when he shows up, I mean, he literally shows up, and he, in some terms, I guess we could say he makes up for lost time, because sometimes he'll not only get you back where you were, he'll clean you off and dust you off and almost propel you into a better place. And, you know, I've always told people, I say, you know, be mindful of the words we use and how we really interpret them, because, you know, people say, oh, God, deliver me. Well, clearly he's taking you from somewhere and delivering you to a better place. So you're clearly not that you were. And that's what I found out. God doesn't just work out the problem. He eliminates the problem, but also propels me to a new level. I'm not the same person I was when I was going through the storm. I ended up being someone much better on the other side. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing to say, hey, Lord, fix this problem. But when God can make you better by coming through it, and you're shining and you're looking like, I mean, you got a couple battle scars, but those are healed. But those are also reminders of what you went through and kind of re-solidify your faith to say, hey, you know, I got some battle scars, you know, but you know what? God's brought me out, and I'm a better person because of it. And that's one of the things that I've noticed about myself, and hopefully others have noticed too, is that, you know, once you're going through something and God delivers you, we learn something from it. We become better. We're not those same people. And if you don't learn, then prepare to go through some more storms. I'll tell you that much through my own testimony. But, you know, you have to be able to weather the storm. And, you know, I've always used that analogy about, you know, ships at sea. You notice that, you know, you see a lot of these shows and ships are out at sea with the guys catching the crabs and all the other stuff going on out in the treacherous thing. And notice that those ships don't sink. And I always tell people, if we're the vessel, if we're supposed to be the ship, obviously don't let the chaos around you wear you down, because that's ultimately how we think and how it happens. We let what goes on around us get inside of us, or the storm get inside of us, and guess what? It wears us down. We become weighted. We sink, and then we're not able to progress and get to our destination. So I've always been one of the people to say, look, if you have faith, you're not going to let whatever's going on around you wear you down, boggle you down, stop you from your journey. It may slow you down a little bit, but you're never going to lose momentum. You're going to continue to go, but that's all about having faith. And then when God delivers you, oh, my goodness, it's like the light switch goes off. You hear the heaven, the gates of heaven open up, because you're like, man, you know, it seemed like it was an eternity. But when you're going through things that are unfamiliar, when you're going through things that, you know, that you're not used to dealing with, to keep you up late at night, you're crying, you don't know how to deal with it. It seems like it's an eternity, but trust me, it's all for the better. You have to go through to get to, and that's really the best way that I can put it. If you want to aspire to be certain things and go do different things in any aspect of your life, whether it's being a better parent, being a better coworker, being a better Christian, anything, you're going to have to go through some storm. You're going to have that faith tested. And it's going to get tested over and over and over again. And guess what? 2 years ago, there were storms that I wouldn't even think about even entering, and my faith would be rattled. But now, if you give me those same storms, I know how to deal with it. I know how to navigate and maneuver. But now there's different storms because I'm a better Christian. So now it's going to be more treacherous storms that are going to be coming for me. But I'm prepared. I got my sword and my shield. I have my faith in the Lord. So I know that now Satan and the world are going to try to go different things at me, like, okay, well, he ain't the same Brandon he was 3-4 years ago, so we can't throw that at him. We gotta try to get him off his game doing this and this, you know. But guess what? All that's going to do is help me get closer to God, and that's what I want. When I'm in the storm, I don't get further away from God and say, oh, woe is me. I get closer to the Word of God, because guess what? Then I'm going to get through that storm, then I'm going to level up. And then as you notice, you go through the storms, we're continuously rising and we're continuously getting better. And sometimes, don't focus on the negative. Focus that, hey, you know, I'm actually elevating my spiritual life by getting through these storms. So expect the storm. The storm is what brings the best out of you. It can either make you or break you. But if you have the Word of God, as my sister said, if you have a relationship with God and you know how to call on the Word of God and you know how to call on these scriptures, guess what? It's going to make you that much better. And then guess what? When you get through that storm, guess what? When you see your brothers and sisters out here going through a storm, you can help pull them along, because we don't got to go through the storm by ourselves. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your word tonight. We go to the next caller. Ask him about that won't he do it moment. Last 4 digits 3343 on the air again.
Yes, Lord. Yes, he'll do it. I just listened to him sitting there, and I think about my stroke. And no one can tell you about a stroke unless you've been through it. And the way I had to go through it, and I was bending down my knees and fell in my face, didn't know what was happening to me. And I laid on my back, and all I said, oh, well, I guess I'm going to die. And I think God is going, I'm going to heaven this way. But I listened to that, bro. When I laid there, I woke up again. I woke up, and I guess somebody had prayed for me to get on my back again, off my back, and stand on my feet again. When I got on my feet again, I came to thank the good Lord for letting me get off that out of the hospital, because what I just said I had to go through, I didn't know what I was going through. What I did going through, I was so thankful that I had the Lord with me. And I know he was with me, because I had people praying for me. And I can't say no more than that. I just think we can keep praying each day and being thankful that the Lord let me stay here this long, because I could have been gone a long time ago. But my grandmother taught me to think about the good Lord. And I'm still, this time, still thinking about the good Lord every day.
Yeah.
I haven't forgot about nothing. And then whenever I step into a problem, I haven't had a problem so long that the Lord has stuck with me so far that I just can't say, I can't say too much about it, because it's just too much for me. I just stay in my faith on the Lord all the time, every morning. My faith is in the Lord. And I get up out of the bed on my feet, and my back could keep killing me. But I'm walking. I'm walking all the way. And my faith ain't left me at all. That's the only thing that I can tell you. Have I got faith? Yes, I have. And I haven't quit yet.
Amen. Well, thank you for your comments tonight. It's been a good Bible study. Thank everyone for the participation. Truly, it's inspirational for everyone's testimony, and also for the word of God to see these people in action, that in spite of the foolishness that goes on in this world, God can use that foolishness to help strengthen our faith in Him. And with that, we're going to have a word of prayer and close out. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, that we thank you again, God, for allowing us to get together, study around your word. God, we thank you for the power of your spirit that is ministered to us this evening, tonight, God. God, we thank you for those saints and souls that were on the line tonight. We thank you for those that have been faithful in studying your word. We pray for Pastor G and Sheila G, God, and all of our churches and families and friends, God, that you continue to bless them in their various endeavors and needs. God, that you will provide their needs according to your riches and glory. Father, we pray that you will continue to bless our churches, that we will be like a city that is set on a hill that shines light and darkness to those who may not know you, God, that we will be that church that would shine light and that someone may see our good works and glorify you who are in heaven. Father, we pray continued strength and continued health. God, we pray that you will continue to bless us individually and collectively, one by one and name by name. And Father, we pray that if there's any special requests, that they will be met and that they would continue to trust you, God, that you would deliver them on whatever they may be in need of, God, that you would be Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And God, we know that you will do it, and we will just wait on you and trust in you. So, God, again, we say thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, we do ask these blessings. So we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see and hear from you again on next Thursday night. Good night.